This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Timi Dakolo, great nation there. 11 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Thank you for joining the conversation. The sun looks like it's going to rise today. What else is could rise? Nigeria as a nation, Nigeria's profile in the international community. What exactly? This morning we're talking about the UK travel restriction on Nigerians. Not just that, some of the matters arising as well. Why? Because the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus has been found in Nigeria. By the way, it didn't originate here. You understand, and you know that's one of the issues that the federal government has come out to speak against. They have described it, Nigeria's High Commissioner to the UK has described it as travel apartheid. So all travellers from Nigeria to Britain will have to quarantine on arrival in hotels for 10 days, regardless of vaccination status. And that quarantine will cost about £2,300. If we go by the black market rates, it's about, let's say, £650 now. £2,200. That's about £1,500,000. 1.5 million naira. They say they want to slow down the spread of the Omicron variant. That's what the British Health Minister, Savid Javid, said. Now, this is where we are. We're not the only country that they have, you know, they have travel restrictions on, by the way. They also have, for other countries, the same way other countries also have for Nigeria. Canada, I know. Uh-huh. Okay. So this is what we'll be talking about. For some people, they think, well, this is wrong. This is wrong. For some other people, they think it's targeting Africans, because when it was reported by South Africa, that was the same thing that the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, said. Because we reported something, we're now being banned, you know. A professor is here with me, Professor Eme Ekekwe. He's a professor of political science. Good morning, sir. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me this morning.
All right. So this is not the first time we're hearing of bans and these kinds of things, but what makes this different for you?
I actually don't see the difference. We have to keep certain perspectives active here if we want to understand this properly. It's one thing to talk about the public posturing and the facts themselves.
Okay.
In my opinion, the facts are that certain countries, Britain, Canada, you've mentioned them, France, Germany, United States, have restricted travel from certain African countries in reaction to the emergence of the latest
strain
of the COVID-19 virus, the Omicron. In principle, I don't see what is wrong with that.
Okay.
Every country tries to protect itself the best way it sees how. That should include Nigeria. Now, the problem here is that when you're dealing with international politics, international relations, when you're dealing with in situations of biracial contexts, you have to bring in other factors.
Okay.
And that's when the worrying element might come in. That worrying element is the speed, not the fact itself, the speed with which Britain, because it led that charge, United States came later, Canada came later, with which Britain reacted to say seven countries in Southern Africa will ban travel from there. Nigeria entered that list.
That's this weekend.
Yes. But initially it was
the list was Southern African countries.
Exactly. Now, in principle, they were reacting to this. But you and I, being black, given our history, given the nature of international relations, we have reason to suspect, could they be acting so fast because this is coming from Africa? All right? Is there any racial element? Is there any discrimination in it? Are they reacting that way because we are a powerless set of people? If we were powerful, would they have reacted that way? But those are hypothetical questions.
Mm.
We are not powerful. That's the fact. Did they react that way to protect their own personal interest or national interest? As far as I'm concerned, yes. Okay. Were they right? In my opinion, yes. Did it hurt me as an African that these countries targeted were all African countries? Yes. But then so many other things have hurt me because I'm black, I'm African, I'm Nigerian, I'm proud of those factors. But I have not built up the necessary force, the necessary power that I can go and look Britain in the face and say, no, you can't do that to me. All right? Because you didn't do it to X, Y, Z. We are crying, yes, but sorry, that's life.
Okay, there's also the matter of the vaccination. I was reading this morning, and we have less than 4% of our population vaccinated. Then there is also the matter of fake COVID results. Some people are saying, well, that is not enough. You think these factors also, you know, come to play here?
They come to play, but not to say they are not enough. Even if it's, they do with matters of trust, especially when it comes to the results of tests that are conducted. We do it ourselves, and we think it doesn't matter. We give ourselves fake results. We think it doesn't matter. We carry it to some places. The person says, sorry, for me, it matters. And because we treat it with levity in our own environment, we expect that person to treat it with levity in his or her own environment. That's not right. Now, where Europe, Britain, United States are to blame is in the matter of the distribution of the vaccines. There is evidence that some countries in Africa, including Nigeria, paid for vaccines that were not delivered on time.
Besides the few ones that were sent under the other arrangement.
Yes, when it comes to doing us a favor, they want to be seen to be helping us. But when it comes to those areas where we can help ourselves, again, the power relations come into play here. You are not strong enough to insist, I paid you yesterday, so you should have supplied me yesterday. So they get away with it because of our powerlessness. I understand that Botswana, where this originally came from, had paid for vaccines, never received the vaccines, and yet you turn around to say this thing, you know, you want to punish Botswana in terms of the travel restriction. That is not fair. That's where that haste in the way they reacted to me is wrong and questionable, but not in the reaction itself.
Okay.
So if we are under-vaccinated, part of the blame for that under-vaccination, at least in the few cases we know that countries had paid and did not get the supply on time, part of that blame goes to the industrialized nations. All right. The other part of the blame is that this is a time when we should have been ramping up our own research institutes, making sure that both from traditional and from orthodox medicine, we are looking for all the sources that we can begin to help ourselves. But so far, initially I know NAFDAC and all these research institutes in Nigeria, the NCDC, they were making attempts. I don't know how far those attempts have gone. I know that some drugs were being tested. But like most things in Nigeria,
Falling back.
It took the US 2 weeks to test the vaccines and come out to the world and say, yes, we have it. Our own is taking us how many months? So those are things that we needed, in my opinion, to be doing so that when Britain, United States, Canada react the way they do, we have a platform on which to stand and react. When I saw my country's reaction read by the Minister for Information, I felt sad because it didn't pack the punch because it had no punch to pack. Right? You say this is apartheid. Yes, it is apartheid, but apartheid is practiced by those who have power. When South Africa was under an apartheid system, it was because the whites had the power. When ANC got itself to the African National Congress got itself to a point where it could effectively contest that power, we saw what happened. Yeah. It crumbled overnight. So if we're talking about apartheid in this, let us go and do what ANC did in our own countries.
All right, let's hear what Lai Mohammed said on this matter.
How do you slam this kind of discriminatory action on a country of 200 million people? just because of less than 2 dozen cases. More importantly, whereas British business and residents are allowed to come in from Nigeria to Britain, non-residents from the same country are banned. The two groups are coming from the same country, will be subjected to different conditions. Why won't Britain allow people in both categories to come in and be subjected to the same conditions of testing and quarantine?
All right, so this matter of vaccination, I was reading somewhere, I think one government minister saying that we have we have enough vaccinations to cover about 70% of the population. But in the fact is that we've done for less than 4%. What do you think is going on here?
A number of factors are at play. One is what they call COVID hesitancy or vaccine hesitancy.
Okay.
There are people who, in their opinion, for good reason, would not want to take the vaccine. And that applies across the world, not just Nigeria.
Yeah.
So we take that into account. But a worse situation, in my opinion, in our own case, arises from two factors. One is those who, for religious reasons, think that vaccine is evil, and this particular vaccine is evil. It's very unfortunate. It's a misreading, in my opinion, of the scripture.
Mm.
It is a misinterpretation. It is dangerous. And thousands of people may have died. I don't know what the figures are. But thousands of people who believe that theory may have died for refusing the vaccine. The other factor at play here is that our own internal distributive mechanism, it's not up to scratch. It's one thing to have vaccines in Abuja, to have them in Port Harcourt. Yes, we have large numbers of people living in those places. What about the rural areas? What about the places that don't even have health facilities where they can store these things? Those are the things that will help to depress the number of people who are vaccinated.
Okay. This matter of pausing visa issuance to Nigerians. So what the British High Commission says is that they've paused issuance of visitor visas to citizens of countries on the UK red list, including Nigeria. Says the decision covers travel to the UK for tourism, visiting family and friends, undertaking short-term business activities, for example, attending meetings, undertaking short-term studies under 6 months, taking part in research or exchange programs as an academic, medical reasons, for example, receiving medical treatment. If you apply for a visit visa in a red list country and you meet the UK immigration rules, your application will be paused. You will not receive a decision on your visit visa application whilst red list travel restrictions remain in place. You will not be able to request a refund of your visa fee once you begin your biometrics at a visa application center. However, if you already hold a valid visa and are intending to travel to England as a visitor from a red list country, you will not be allowed to enter.
That's just, you know, spelling out the elements of those restrictions, who they apply to, what conditions they apply to those people. Now, if you look at that, at those conditions, you'll actually see that with respect to Britain and Nigeria in particular, that Britain will be the net loser. When we travel, we take money from here to Britain. We're a net exporter of capital and surplus that we don't already have. And that's because it's coming from a certain class of people in the country.
Mm.
We are concerned about the ban, not because the woman in Creek Road's market is hurt in any way by it, but because it hurts the ruling class in this country. I smiled to myself when you mentioned how much it will cost in Naira to just to be quarantined. And I laughed to myself. That's the salary, lifetime salary of many people in this country. And somebody in Abuja is worrying that they can't spend that money, right? and it's money that is stolen from us. So Britain is a loser in this sense. Let's also give, you know, some sympathy to them. And let's hope that that money stays back here. But that's on a lighter note. The point is that this is a two-way traffic. Mm. It hurts them just as it hurts us. If we're shouting so much, it's because of the category of people here that it hurts. I think if I understood it correctly, students who have been resident in Britain and who came out maybe on holiday or on some official trip may be permitted to go back. What is, I understand it, what they don't want now is somebody who's coming for
short term,
right, for a few months. That's why I say that they will lose, because those are the people who will take money from here and go there and spend it. Yeah, the student on long term.
Yeah, but if you look at the cost of treating a person who has COVID and the effect of transmission,
yes,
they're not going to lose anything in the real sense, the cost.
Exactly. No. We don't go there to treat COVID.
No. If a person here carries, for example,
yes,
you have a fake document,
yes,
and you go there,
yes,
and you spread to other people,
yeah,
the costs for them, I mean, it they would be on the short end of the stick.
Yes, that's what they don't want. So
you're not really losing money.
No, because one, when I say they're losing money, I presume that the person who lives here, because he would have shown at the airport that he's fully vaccinated, he would have tested negative on arrival all right? So he's the person that would
spend money.
Yes.
Okay, so for that, they're losing.
Yes.
And then now,
what they are fencing themselves against is that person who comes with the disease and who will now most likely spread it and force them to incur costs, not just to treat that person, but to treat also their citizens. That's what they're doing.
And now for anyone who has to enter, you have to spend about £2,200 in quarantine for 10 days first before you're allowed to get into the community.
And you pay for it from your pocket. And they want a guarantee before you even board the aircraft that you have enough money to pay for it.
So they are
securing
their bag.
Exactly.
Professor Kekwe here with me in the studio. The lines will be open, but we have a commercial. A bit lengthy, but do stay tuned. We're Nigerian for Port Harcourt. We're live on Facebook at Nigerian for PH. You can drop your comments there on WhatsApp 0809030 6416. My name is Eno Ogbeviri. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigerians continue to react to the travel ban over the Omicron COVID-19 variant. Focus is on the UK this morning. My guest is Professor Eme Ikekwe, Professor of Political Science. Thank you again, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
Well, let's look at the way Nigerians reacted to this. Do you think they've gone about to the right way? Do you think there's some other way they can or could have explored?
Well, they have done what they think they had to do. In international relations, you react according to how you perceive any particular situation. We think that this has been bad for us. That it hurts us psychologically, economically, and in other ways. So we had grounds to react. But as I said before the break, my concern was in the nature of the reaction on two levels. One is that we've reacted to the outside world to say we are here, we shouldn't be treated this way, we're being unfairly treated, we're being singled out for unfair punishment, if you like. We have not, since the COVID pandemic started, shown, in my opinion, another kind of reaction. The reaction that would have forced us as a nation to beef up our health services so that we are able to cope with these kinds of situations. COVID, for me, the pandemic is just a status. There are others on the way. And we are, to the best of my knowledge, we are not working as if we are preparing for emergencies in this sector or any sector of our society at all. That's what, in the long run, makes weak the international reaction that we have demonstrated. When our Minister for Information says we're a people of over 200 million and less than 24 have been identified, and see how you are treating us, totally irrelevant. Shows that the man does not either understand the nature of the pandemic or the statistics he was quoting. This is something that spreads so fast that by the time you are counting 24, it's probably 48. That's one. Two, we are known both by ourselves and by others as people who have very low level of vaccination. You told us what that, you know, the percentage that was earlier. We have very bad tracing capacity. So when we say to the world two dozen, they probably would do their own mental arithmetic and say, okay, if they're saying 24, probably 36. So they do their own arithmetic. And we ourselves know that these statistics that we do, and it's not just in health, mention any area of our public life, we don't have the statistics. People don't believe those statistics. We don't believe the statistics. So it's irrelevant quoting figures. And then the minister went ahead and said, you know, the kind of thing we did when you're in primary school and somebody beat you up. You say, see, I'm not even the person who did it. All right? Which means, go beat that person. Don't beat me. It didn't start here. Hey. That's it was a very bad reaction. One, because, and we have no evidence to the contrary, Canada, United States had shown that some of their cases came from Nigeria. So we're already out there. We're already looking bad. To come and deny it didn't even start here. The question of where it started, to me, is important. This is public health matter. In public health, what countries do, or any group at all, is to err on the side of caution. That's what we are seeing. That's what we have not, our own, you know, in our own area, taken the necessary internal precautionary measures. And when others precede us and take those measures, we think it hurts.
Okay, so this matter of banning or restricting travelers, our borders are still open. People are still coming from other countries, even countries where Omicron was found
in Britain. Yes. Yes. If we wanted to react, we would have said, okay, see, everybody's closing their borders. We too, we restrict X, Y, Z. But you know, you restrict those things when, after you restrict, you have the internal resilience. You don't have that internal resilience. So we keep our borders open for as long as possible. Those people, they have the internal resilience. I mentioned earlier on that Britain will be losing money. All right? Technically, that is correct. But that's not the kind of loss that they're about to go crying over. All right? They would like to have it, but if it's not there, it doesn't mean that the next monthly allocation will be looking for a way to make up to give to states or to Wales and England and Scotland what their due should be. No. We are the ones in those situations. So we need, in my opinion, after reacting the way we've done, badly, as in my opinion, but we need to react further by getting our own act together. Because there'll be more epidemics, there'll be more pandemics, and we are not ready.
All right, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009 are the numbers to call. Jerry from Aces of Love says, I'm happy for the ban. Our people, especially our president, would learn to sit in this country instead of his numerous medical trips. Oh, on UK travel ban, if we Nigeria continue cutting corners, the Western countries won't have won't have value for anything we do. Our healthcare system is nothing to write home about. When our number one citizen and elites run to UK for medical tourism with fake COVID-19 certificates, we can't compare with other European countries not listed. For example, they said we have 3 cases of the new COVID variant. And you know our country, Nigeria, is the more you look, the less you see. Igbe Omerigbe sent that in. We're Nigerian for good morning. Hello? Good morning. Zero 817-923-0002. On Facebook, let's see who's on there. Okay. Take this call now. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Madam Eno. Okay, my name is David Webb. Yeah, this morning I'm calling you from Supercourt. For me, I think the ban on Nigeria is, as far as I'm concerned, if you look at the COVID history, the infection of COVID, the number of deaths and the number of infections in Nigeria is not as alarming as that we have in UK, America, and Europe. It's just that it's not for the nature of Nigeria as a country that we are lacking behind several things. Otherwise, who would have been the one to place these same people on this band or these travel restrictions you are talking of? We should be the one to rescue them. The evolution of COVID-19, coronavirus, did not even come from Africa or Nigeria. So it's quite unfortunate for me, for UK and all these countries, Canada, to say they are placing a ban or travel restriction on Nigeria, where even the virus is minimal. So for me, I think it's neither here nor there.
All
right. Nigerian government should just wake up, step up its game, and let's begin to place this restriction on these people.
All right, thank you. Good morning. But is the virus really minimal? Good morning. Off the radio.
Good morning.
Hello. Yeah,
hello?
Good morning. You're on.
Yeah, it's really disheartening that somebody will close his door and a stranger will be crying. Britain closes that door, Nigeria is crying. What is that supposed to mean? We have been developing right from when we got independence from Britain. We have our statistics and everything. We'll be crying that somebody locked his door. Funny, thank you.
Wow, thank you for calling. Nigeria is crying that Britain locked their door. We're Nigerian info. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Obinna, calling from Port Harcourt. Yes, I'm happy. I want to commend the British government for locking the door against Nigeria, because if you go and check how much these people are using for their medical trip in London, because I know it's why they are crying out. If it's what will benefit the poor masses, now you will see them keeping mum. My sister, I thank God for this British government that is banning all these medical trips, because it's this medical trip that is their problem. You know how much this will spend to the people that follow them? Trillions of naira. Tomorrow they say they are fighting corruption. Well, they are the corrupt people. Thank God for that.
Well, it's not only for medical tourism. The other forms of health as well.
Hello?
Apologies, you have to call again. The line is noisy, and we also need to wrap this up. Good morning.
What is this, I know? It's not on the phone.
You're welcome.
I'm Gokana, yes. I know. I want to say that me, I don't know why they should even give an option of money. Because these people will pay any amount of money to get into the UK or the US. They should just say, close it, pump, and say, you go take care of your health. Your health, your country, people are sick. They don't have any place to go to. Go and take care of your people. They shouldn't give any money. Me, I don't like that one. They should just close. Pam, we don't want to hear anything. Pim, nobody's going. Nobody's coming. Let them stay there. We stay here. Thank you, Madam Doctor.
Okay. Good morning.
Hello, hello. Sorry, I'm laughing. The last call made me laugh. But of course, you can already feel the pulse of we Nigerians, you know. Everybody is happy that the whole thing is happening. And it's a shame that our government doesn't even read our pulse as well. Yeah, for me, of course, I'm still joining everybody. They shouldn't bother. They shouldn't even give that sort of money. Lock it down.
I was thinking, Lai Mohammed, his first reaction will be, okay, because of this, our president will come to your country again for medical checkup. You can't swim the swimlet. Let them knock everywhere. Who cares?
All right. Prof, here says it's a problem of the rich. Well, maybe those aspiring to be in that bracket as well. But what do you think we can take away from this at this time? And because we don't know how long we'll be on that list for.
Yeah, for me, it's not a question of dealing with the ban. It's a question of dealing with the pandemic. What lessons have we learned since 2019? How are we reflecting those lessons in our public health policies? How are we reflecting those lessons in terms of the distribution of wealth, which runs parallel with the distribution of available vaccines in the country? What efforts are we making to encourage Nigerians to be vaccinated? Because there's a thick wall against vaccination out there. We need to keep chipping away at it and get as many people as possible to get the protection. From all evidence, even Omicron respects the vaccination. I've seen some evidence to that effect. And these are from people who have had it. This is from a medical doctor who has been opposed to all kinds of bans. But he says to most people out there, please go get vaccinated. It's very helpful. It doesn't mean that you no longer be infected. You might be, but the gravity is much reduced. You may not even be hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And what they are finding with COVID, with Omicron, even in South Africa, is that very few people have had to be hospitalized as a result of it. So, and I saw a reaction by a Nigerian doctor based somewhere, I think in Malaysia or Singapore, who was actually giving a totally different slant to the whole thing. His argument was simple, but he says there's a caveat here that we have to wait until all the evidence is in. That in fact, Omicron may be an indication that we are going towards the end of COVID-19.
Maybe.
Coming from Africa, as I did, and one of your callers mentioned that we've had relatively few deaths, relatively few infections, all right? So this medical person is suggesting that there's something in our gene, in our climate, that COVID-19 has encountered and has evolved to Omicron, which may make it less lethal than the original one.
But we need to wait for researchers to come up with something.
We need to wait for that, but it's something to keep in mind. Yes,
here and there, a lot could go wrong. So
and let us get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated. Thank you very much, Professor, for your time.
Thank you very much.
Professor Ime Ikekwe, always a pleasure, is a professor of political science. My name is Anogbeviri. Thank you for joining the conversation. Good morning.